Nobody's parent here, I'm sure. Number eight, you might have a difficult child. Bill Cosby points out that we're the only creatures on earth that let our children come back home. Number seven reason you need to hear this message is you might have a difficult neighbor. Let me tell you about a difficult neighbor. Every day, a woman stood on her porch and shouted, "Praise the Lord!" And every day, her atheist neighbor next door said, "There is no Lord!" Well, one day, she prayed loudly for this. She said, "Please, Lord, send me some groceries." Well, the next morning, out on her porch were 10 bags of groceries, and she said, "Praise the Lord!" Suddenly, out from behind a bush jumps her atheist neighbor, and he says, "Ha! I told you there is no Lord. I brought those groceries." And the woman said, "Praise the Lord! He not only sent me groceries, he made the devil pay for them." The number six reason you need to hear this message is you might have a difficult friend. You guys need to stop looking at each other and pointing and nudging. Number five reason you need to hear this message: you might have a difficult pet, or several. In our case, we have five pets and they're all difficult, and that's one of them. The number four reason: you might have a difficult coworker. I'm just gonna say two words to you: Ken Ritz. No, I'm kidding. But here's a real life example of a difficult coworker. This is a documented excuse that one employee used. He said, "I can't come into work today because the sobriety tool on my car won't let me start it." The number three reason is a difficult sibling. The number two reason, a difficult mother-in-law. Not mine, of course, not mine. And the number one reason you need to hear this message is you might be difficult. If this last one applies, you might consider seeking help from a therapist or a psychiatrist. You know what that is, right? That's a person who asks you a lot of expensive questions that your wife gets to ask you for free. Just kidding. All right, but on to the message: God's power for your relationships. First, you may be asking yourself, what do you mean I have God's power to use in my relationships? Well, the most powerful events in history were the birth and resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? He proved he was who he said he was. And all of history is measured from the birth of Jesus. You have BC, which is before Christ, and AD, which in Latin is Anno Domini, which means in the year of our Lord, referring to the time following Christ's birth. The whole world uses Jesus' birth as a date. This is 2013, right? And every time you put the date on anything, what's the reference point? 2013 years from what? From the birth of Jesus Christ. And of course, Jesus was resurrected from the dead after 3 days. And because of that, we know as believers that we will also be resurrected to live in all eternity with Jesus in heaven. So, it's safe to say that Christ's birth and resurrection were the most powerful events in all of history. Now, you may be thinking, so what? Big deal. What's this got to do with me? Why am I hearing you say this? Well, according to Ephesians 1, it has a lot to do with you and me and our success in relationships. In Ephesians 1, Paul says that we're provided his, meaning God's, incomparably great power for us who believe. The power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. So, in other words, God's saying, the same power I used at the resurrection, I want you to use to solve your problems. Wow, is that cool or what? Resurrection power at our disposal. Now, let's face it. Many, many, many of our problems revolve around relationships, don't they? But that's not to say that being in relationships with people isn't a good thing. Relationships are good and are worth the problems that come with them. God wants us to be in relationships. He made us for relationship. For example, according to Genesis 2, in verse 18, the Lord said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." If you're like me, though, sometimes you have to wonder just what suitable means. Just kidding. The truth is that many relationships, marriages or otherwise, need some resurrecting and need that resurrection power that we have from God. Many years ago, God resurrected my marriage. He gave Susan and me the resurrection power to stop abusing alcohol and the resurrection power of prayer. We started holding hands together at bedtime and praying together, and this was like a huge thing. But it wasn't easy at first, especially for me. I was really uncomfortable with this. We started out with just a few simple words like, thank you, God, for this day, amen. But over time, that's changed. And now we pray about everything, our marriage, our kids, our friends, our church, our family, you name it, and we pray about it. Susan?
Good morning. Like Greg was saying earlier, these principles can be applied to any relationship. You don't have to be married to have relationship issues, right? There are three basic stress points in a relationship. And the first one is unexpected differences. Have you noticed that we don't all think alike? Have you been on Facebook? Have you noticed that people like to try to change the way you think? I don't know about you, but this causes me some stress. Number two is unmet needs. Some of us are needier than others. And I'm not going to say any names, but when your needs don't get met in a relationship, it causes stress. Isn't that right, honey? Okay. Anyway, number three, the third stressor is unforgiven mistakes. Sometimes we like to hold on to our resentments and our anger, and we don't like to forgive that other person. And people who walk around resentful, have you ever noticed those resentful people cause everyone around them to feel stress? It's like contagious. So we have three stressors in a relationship, and these stressors can leave us feeling powerless or hopeless and feeling like nothing's ever going to change in my marriage or nothing's ever going to change at work or with my children. And today we're talking about the reason you don't want to give up, because you have access to the resurrection power that Greg was just talking about. And with that power, things can change. In my own life, I have experienced this over and over and over. God has come in and he has transformed my relationships through just amazing ways that I never thought possible. But it's not always big changes. Sometimes it's really small changes. And, you know, we say all the time, God can move mountains. And that's true. But sometimes he does it one rock at a time. It takes a while. Those victories can be small, but if you look for the victories instead of the defeats, I don't know about you, but I usually find what I'm looking for. And that will bring us more hope as well. In your outline, it says, how God can help my relationships. Number one, it says, he can give me the power to fathom others' differences. Now, I know fathom's not a word we use very often, but it really encapsulates what we're trying to say here. It means to understand the depth of something. We want to get each other. Some of us are deep, deep wells, and some of us are as deep as a mud puddle. Just saying. Not mentioning any names again. Understanding differences is going to be a challenge. I'm not going to lie. Does anybody remember the book, Men Are From Mars and Women Are From? Everybody knows that book, right? Well, George Carlin once said, men are from Earth, women are from Earth, deal with it. Okay? 1 Corinthians 2:11, it says, for who knows a person's thought except that person's own spirit within? My translation, we can't read minds. We can't expect other people to read our minds. Now, I used to believe that that was what people did. I thought when I gave him the silent treatment, he should know why I was mad. Now, I know he doesn't have a clue. Unless I communicate what I'm thinking and feeling out loud, I can't expect him to understand me, right? It makes perfect sense up here. I don't know why it doesn't at home, but anyway, we all think differently, right? Not just men and women. Everybody in this room thinks a little differently. Like, some of us are liberals and some of us are conservatives. Don't freak out, Ken. I'm not going there. Everybody relax. Some of us like warm beaches. Any beach people here? Okay. Some of us like cold castles. I don't get that. Some of us likes to exercise, and some of us would rather eat chocolate. Some of us like to work hard, and some of us find it hard to work. Some of us like to pinch those pennies we save, save, save. And some of us like to spend. That's why we make such a good team. All right, some of us love life. You ever know people like that? They just love life. And then sometimes you're in a relationship with somebody who likes to read about life. I'm just kidding, just kidding. He does both, really. Okay, God's sense of humor, I think he puts opposites together for a reason. He likes to sit back and watch the sparks fly. And sometimes, forest fires in some case. Those are probably even more entertaining. Different does not mean right or wrong. It just means different. And that's what I really want to get across today. We need to try to understand people's differences. I know it's hard. It's hard for me, too. I can tend to be a control freak. And you know, people thinking different makes me very nervous. But God's resurrection power is there to help us do that. I like to call my Bible my life instruction manual, because that's what it is. It helps me to understand how important it is to give other people freedom to think differently. In 1 Peter 3:7, it says, "You husbands should try to understand the wife you live with."
Who said
Amen. That? That's right. It doesn't say try to change her. It doesn't say ignore her. But it says try to understand her. The definition of understand: to know thoroughly through close contact, to know and be tolerant or sympathetic toward. Now, this close contact means your inner circle, your spouse, your coworkers, your friends. We need to be sympathetic and tolerant toward that inner circle. Take a look in your outline at James 1:5. It says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." So, what do we have to do to get it? Ask. That's right. Ask for the wisdom. Ask for the resurrection power. It's there. Just ask for it, and he promises to give it to us. Greg and I do not always do this right. We don't always embrace our differences. Sometimes, instead of asking for resurrection power and wisdom, we ask for a sledgehammer. And I'm not saying, and don't misunderstand, I'm not saying that you should not speak your mind and have an opinion. If I didn't speak my mind, I would spontaneously combust. There's no doubt. But forcing those opinions on someone else and taking away their freedom to think differently, this is going to ultimately ruin our relationships. We need to respect each other's differences. You might ask, why did God make this so hard? Why is it so difficult? Well, I have a theory. My daughter says I have a theory about everything. And I do. But I think that he was not interested in developing an army of robots. If we all think exactly alike and we're all on the same page, we're no different than a robot. You cannot have relationship with a robot. I know some of you try. With your TV, your computer, your smartphones, your iPads, your video games. But those are substitutes for relationship. That is not the real thing. Those robots will not love you back. And when God created you and he created me, that was his main goal. Was that we would love him back and that we would love each other. So I suggest that we start celebrating our differences and stop trying to force each other into our own little personal cookie cutter. All right, we have a video for you right now.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me. And I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head. And it's relentless. And I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. No,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like... There's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
Yeah, that sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on! Ow. If you would just...
Don't!
Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go?
All right, let's take a look at number two on your outlines. God can give me the power to fulfill others' needs. Think that guy was fulfilling her needs? In Philippians 2, Paul says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others." Sometimes we need to compromise. We don't have all the answers, do we? In 1 Corinthians 8, it says, "Anyone who claims to know all the answers doesn't really know very much." I like that verse, because it's very true. But the word compromise gets a bad rap, doesn't it? Some of us feel that we're losing when we compromise. You know, I'm a lawyer, and I used to be in private practice, and my clients would hate to settle cases, even when it was in their best interest, because they felt that way. They felt like they were always giving something up. But compromise in a relationship is essential. Compromise means a settlement of differences in which each side makes concessions. You should circle the word settlement. If you focus on settlement versus concessions, it's a win-win situation. On the other hand, if you focus on the concessions, it's lose-lose. Susan and I compromise a lot, and by doing so, we fulfill each other's needs. For example, she really likes to exercise, and I like ice cream. So we go for a walk and then go get ice cream. Win-win, right? When you place importance, though, on the other person's needs, then that person feels valued and fulfilled. But I got to tell you, God has to help me with his resurrection power to pull this off. Because left to myself, I'm inclined to be selfish. I tend to do what suits me or what I'm wanting to do. For example, another example, I like my time alone. Sometimes, you know, I'm tired and I feel like I have nothing left to give. I'm running out empty after work or yard work or doing bills or the kids or whatever it might be. So I can easily go down into my music room in the basement and just disappear for hours. And our culture feeds these feelings by saying, "Look out for number one," or "You've got to do what makes you happy." It's hard to put others' needs before your own. Sometimes our human love just wears out, but God's love never does it? And he can work through you in those times. So I go to my trusty life instruction manual for help, and it tells me in Philippians 2, "It is God who is at work within you, giving you the will and the power to achieve his purpose." So I can do this, and I don't run off to the basement, well, at least not as often as I used to. He can work through me and give me that resurrection power that I need to fulfill Susan's needs. Guys, it's sometimes particularly hard for us, but think of it like a football team. A team needs to know and understand all the plays. The players on the team have to spend time together, don't they? They review the plays and they practice the plays. It takes a lot of time together. And they have to communicate the plays out loud so that everyone's on the same page. And then they have to fulfill the plays if they want to win the game, something the Bengals have had a hard time doing recently. So if you want your relationships to work, the key words are the same: to know and understand, spend time together, communicate, and fulfill. However, a word of caution here. Do the words high maintenance mean anything to you guys? Some of us have unrealistic needs. I won't mention any names, but she requires 3 memory foams on our bed to be comfortable. It's, you know, practically requires a ladder to climb into our bed. The cat can't even jump that high. I'm kidding. But does someone in your life have unrealistic needs? Some people's needs are bigger than we can ever fulfill. They have a hole in their cup of life, and no matter how much we try to fulfill them, it just runs out the bottom. We need to evaluate the needs of those around us. Sometimes they're legitimate, but sometimes it would be codependent or simply impossible to meet all their needs and demands. And we would never have a healthy relationship with those people. So, use your God-given wisdom and your resurrection power with those relationships. Susan?
I want to clear something up. We did take one of those memory foams off. All right. Anyway, number 3 in your outline. God can give you the power to forgive others' mistakes. This is critical. There are 2 laws of reality I want to share with you. Number 1, other people are not perfect. Number 2, you're not so hot yourself. I'm sorry. Colossians 3:13, be gentle and ready to forgive. Never hold grudges. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Notice the word must. That word makes me very uncomfortable. Makes me want to rebel, I'll be honest. Kind of like Mr. Lockhorn. He likes to rebel like me. All right. Greg and I, we have many faults, and I love to acknowledge them for both of us. And when we come up here and talk in front of you all, we share those struggles. And you might be asking why, because it's so much fun. No, it's really not fun to come up here and make fun of ourselves and expose ourselves to you. But it's necessary, because we want you to know the truth. We want you to know that no one is perfect. Everyone struggles. I don't know about you, but it comforts me to know I'm not alone in that area. Greg and I do a lot of things wrong, but we also do a lot of things right. Glory to God. I am not bragging, because we absolutely could not do it without God's intervention. We wouldn't be standing up here today if it weren't for God. He gets all the credit. Because of him, our relationship is full of love. On the other hand, because we're human, it's full of opportunities to forgive. We get lots of practice at that. Most relationships come with some problems. And again, if you go to your life instruction manual and you try to follow what God says, I promise you, the blessings far, far, far outweigh the problems. Now, I would like to say that forgiveness is my specialty. However, when problems come, and they always do, I do not break the sound barrier rushing toward forgiveness. For me, I have to process my feelings. Is anybody out there a processor? I have to talk about it a lot. Greg would say to death. I have to ask God for help, for that resurrection power to help me forgive. Greg, on the other hand, I'm happy to say, is a quick forgiver. I love that about him. No matter how awful my mistakes are, he is so quick to forgive me every time. It makes me feel loved, and it also inspires me to do better in that area. Sometimes in relationships, have you noticed that you're not always on the same page? It doesn't always happen the way you would like it to. Well, recently, Greg and I were on a different page. I wanted to buy a car. He wanted me to wait until fall. We discussed it, and under much duress, Greg conceded. I went out to test drive cars. And when I got to the car lot, the salesman came up to help me, and I told him, you know, I'm looking for an SUV, and there's just one thing it has to have. It has to have, you know, blah, 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 but it also has to have a backup camera, because for those of you who don't know, I don't back up well. And so as I'm talking to him, I see across the lot, there's this gorgeous royal blue SUV. It's the prettiest car I've ever seen. And I'm like, I want to drive that one. And he says, good, great, come on over here. It has everything you want. Oh, but it doesn't have a backup camera. And I said, oh, well, maybe I won't need one this time. So, anybody want to guess what happened? Yep, I wrecked it. Test driving the car, I wrecked it. I felt terrible. I backed up into a mailbox, couldn't see a thing. $1,100 later, I had to tell Greg. That's not fun when you're not on the same page to begin with. I really wish I would have compromised on the timing, but I didn't. And you're not going to believe this, but Greg didn't yell, and he didn't rub it in. He was so sweet. He totally forgave me. Isn't that so sweet? I love it. Okay, enough of that. Now, if someone in your life has made a major mistake or someone has hurt you badly, I want to encourage you to ask God to help you forgive them. Because if you're like me and you're slow to forgive, you need help. If you're like Greg, maybe not. But if you don't forgive them eventually, it only hurts you. I know you've heard this saying, but holding on to resentment and anger is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Not smart. The power of forgiveness is amazing. Like I said, it has changed my life. It has changed all my relationships around me. But unfortunately, I do have a little bit of bad news today. Not everyone is willing to forgive, are they? All relationships don't survive. And the divorce rates are very high. And that's all bad news. But I've got some really, really good news. There was a national survey done by Harvard University, and they discovered something awesome. There are three things that a married couple can do that drastically decrease your chances for divorce. And if you're not married, pay attention, because when you do get married, these are three very important things. Number one, attend church regularly. This does not mean regularly on Easter and Christmas. Number two, pray together. Even if it's short and sweet, like Greg was saying earlier, we started out really small. And number three, read your Bible together. These are critical things to do. And if you're not married, you need to remember that when you get married, you need to join yourself with someone who's willing to do these three things. The divorce rate will drop if you do these three things. Are you ready for this? It drops to 1 out of every 1,105 marriages. Woo! Yeah, I heard somebody holler. That's something worth hollering about. That is the resurrection power of God. When you apply His word to your life, it changes these rates drastically. So at this time, Ken's going to come up, and we're going to do a little ceremony together.
In just a second, Kathy and I are going to leave some of you in renewing your vows. First of all, though, I would like to thank all the singles here for your patience and grace on a morning like this. I know if you're single, oftentimes it's not a lot of fun to go hear people talk about marriage and see people renew their vows. And so I actually want to bow together, and I want to say a prayer of blessing over our singles as we start this, okay? So bow with me. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the singles here and for the good things that you're doing in their lives. We ask you for increased growth. We ask for success and prosperity on them. We ask that you will surround them with loving relationships, with your peace, with fulfillment. And Lord, for those who desire it, we ask that you will find them a marriage partner, one that will be a blessing to their lives and will help them to honor you and grow closer to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. For those of you who would like to renew your vows this morning, it's going to be short and sweet. I'd like you to come forward and stand up next to the steps here. Now, if some of you are not bold enough to actually come up front, you can just stand in your where you're sitting right now, or just hold hands with your partner, whatever. All right, this is terrific. For those of you who are single, or maybe your spouse isn't here this morning, maybe you're divorced, whatever the situation. I would encourage you, while these couples are renewing their vows, to just pray for them and bless them and pray for strength in their marriages. Okay? Let me make a couple comments first. I know that every marriage here, whether you've been married for a week or for 50 years, I know one thing about your marriage, that along with the good times, and hopefully you've had lots of good times, but I know that there have been hurts. And there's been painful times, and there's been wrong things that you've done and wrong things done to you, and there's been injustices and words spoken that are regretted and yet can never be forgotten. All of us in all relationships have those things. But I believe that while God can't necessarily take away the memory of those things, he can and does take away the pain and the hurt associated with those memories. And so I believe that's what's going to happen this morning. I believe Psalm 51 says God takes away our sins and washes us whiter than snow. That is such a powerful image to me. And I want you to picture your marriage this morning as God taking it and washing it, and cleansing it, and renewing it, and taking away the sin and the pain and all the wrong things done in that marriage in the past, and washing it whiter than snow. I want you to picture your marriage as white as snow, a new start as we renew our vows this morning. I believe that's what God is going to be doing in our midst. Okay, so I would like you to join hands and face each other, and Kathy and I are going to lead you in the vows. So, first of all, husbands, do you continue to take this woman whose hand you hold to be your lawful wedded wife? And do you pledge before God to love, honor, and protect her through sunshine and shadow alike, keeping yourself under her alone until death shall separate you? If so, answer, I do. I do.
Wife, do you continue to take this man whose hand you hold to be your lawful wedded husband, and do you pledge before God to be to him a loving and true wife through sunshine and shadow alike, keeping yourself unto him alone until death shall separate you? If so, answer, I do. I do.
Husbands, please repeat after me, but substitute your name for mine. I can receive you, Kathy, to be my wedded wife. I accept you as a precious gift from God. I wish to have and to hold you from this day forward, for better or for worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish as long as we both shall live.
Wives, repeat after me, but substitute your name. I, Kathy, receive you, Ken, to be my wedded husband. I accept you as a precious gift from God. I wish to have and to hold you from this day forward, for better or for worse, for richer or poor, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, as long as we both shall live. You may kiss your bride.
Let's bow together again. Father God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I ask you to pour out the abundance of your blessings upon all of these marriages and homes, that your joy and your peace and contentment would dwell within them as they live together in unity, and that all who enter their home will experience the strength of your love. Father, we proclaim that they will follow and serve you with an ever-growing commitment because of their union and marriage, that they will follow you into greater love and compassion as they care for each other's needs, and that their devotion and marriage will be a radiant reflection of your love. Defend them from every enemy. Bless them in their work and in their companionship. Lead them into all peace. We thank you for your blessing on them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. This ends our service this morning. I want to encourage all of you to join us for cake and punch in the lobby. If you would like to get your picture taken, we said earlier it was for newlyweds. We meant anybody who's renewed their vows. So that's going to be at the end of the atrium. And we also have some wedding renewal certificates. You can pick one up and fill them out with your name and frame them if you would like. As we dismiss, we also, as we always do, want to have our prayer teams come up and pray for any needs that are here this morning. And so if you would like prayer for anything, or if as a couple you would like to have your marriage blessed or prayed for, you're welcome to do that as well. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.